Welcome to the Bridge Church Podcast. Our hope is that God would speak to you during this time, and our mission is to connect you to Jesus daily.
Today is a great day. You know why?
Why?
It's because we're starting a brand new series today. You know I get excited about brand new series, about what God is doing. So we are so thankful that you are here, whether you be in the room or online. My name is Daniel Kazanave. I have the honor and the utmost privilege to be the pastor here at the Bridge Church. And we love what God is doing in and through our church. And so today, if you have your Bibles, we're going to be in Philippians chapter 1. If you have it on your phones, if not, that's okay. We're going to have it on the screen for you as well. But Philippians chapter 1 is going to be our base verse as we get launched today. And our series title is called More Than Enough. More Than Enough. But before we get started, I want to ask you a question. Do you guys remember the last time you moved? You remember last time you moved, like houses, or I know the school year just started. Maybe you're a teacher, you had to move classrooms. Maybe even it could be as small as you got a new car. And you had to move all your stuff from one car to the next. Isn't it amazing how much stuff we acquire? It's like you don't realize it, right, until you move. And you're like, why do we have all these boxes? Like, where do these come from? Where, like, it's just like closets after closet. And then you think you have everything done, and you open up that one door, and you haven't even unpacked that yet. And you're like, oh, my goodness, where is all this stuff coming from? And then you're tempted to be like, hey, we're just going to give everything away and just start over, right? You ever said that before? If you want some good family counseling, you just move together, right? Because that's what it brings some tension. Sometimes, right? But something about collecting all of that stuff, it's just, I believe it's just a part of life. It's something that we do. We just collect things along the way. And I believe that's not only true with material things, but we collect things all throughout our lives, whether it be emotional things. We connect mental things, right? Things that maybe somebody have said to us. It could be positive, but it also can be negative too, right? Somebody said something to us when we were 10 years old, and all of a sudden we're at whatever age is 20 years, 30 years later, it's coming back inside of our minds, and we hear their voice again. It could be relational things that we pick up. It could be scars from relational things. It could be emotional things that we're holding on to. And there's just a lot that can weigh us down in life. And if I believe what I've experienced is sometimes it can just get heavy, right? It can get like, this is just almost too much. And you almost feel like, I wish I could just start over, right? Like, I wish I could just wipe the slate clean. And can I just forget about everything that has happened to me and just, let's just start brand new. And we're looking at all these different things. And I believe the reason why I really felt led and I wanted to do a series like this is because of one verse. And this verse stuck out to me. And when I look at my life and my family's life and our world and the low country, and I believe that we can experience life and things like this can just feel heavy. And I believe that God has called his people, and God and Jesus provide something in our lives as followers of Christ that is different from the world. And in fact, this is kind of like our base verse that we're going to start on today. But John 14:27, this is Jesus teaching. And this is what Jesus says: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. And Jesus is speaking, and he begins to talk, and he's saying, hey, I'm giving you a gift. When you become a believer in me, a follower, when you place your faith in me, when you come to know me, not only are you a new creation in Christ, but I'm giving you a gift, and this gift is called peace. And in fact, he says, this is something that I give you that the world can't give you. It's something, true peace, this eternal harmony, this internal and exterior, where we experience this peace, this rest. And Jesus is saying, I can give this to you, but the world can't give it to you. And I began to think and just ponder on this. And it's almost like Jesus comes and he draws a line in the sand and going, hey, this is of Christ. This is of me. And the world, you can't find that same fulfilling from the world. You can't find that same fulfilling from other places. And Jesus is saying, if you want to know the difference between a Christ follower and somebody who's not a Christ follower, and he's saying, this is one of those things where we experience peace in Christ. And if you don't have Christ, that there's this constant almost wheel turning of turmoil. But I believe that even as Christ followers, sometimes I think we can forget that we have that and we can live into that. And so as we look over the next 4 weeks, we're just talking about one big overarching foundational reason we have peace in Christ today. And then over the next 3 weeks, we're going to be talking about other aspects of those peace and how we can relate and connect to those in an incredible way. And so we're going to look at Philippians chapter 1 today. And to really grasp what Philippians is talking about, it is written by a man named Paul. And Paul, his background is he used to persecute Christians. In fact, he would hunt them down, throw them in prison, throw them in jail. He hated Christians because he did not believe Jesus was the Messiah. Well, he had this road to Damascus moment, meaning he was headed to Damascus, and Jesus came and struck him off a horse. Crazy story, right? Powerful testimony. Struck him off a horse and blinded him for 3 days, and Jesus spoke to him in an audible voice, which is pretty incredible, right? And said, why, Paul, why are you persecuting me? And I think it's a pretty picture for you and I, a beautiful picture to realize that when Jesus speaks about his church, he's saying, why do you persecute me? And he unifies those two ideas, unifies the people group, because we're the bride of Christ, the church. And so Paul has this moment where he gives his life to Jesus, and Jesus takes his past, right? And Paul, in his later writing, says, I'm a Christian, but yet I'm the worst of them all. And he's referring to his past, but God has taken his past, and he has redeemed it. And he has turned Paul into a new mission, a new hope. And Paul went to be one of the most prevalent, I mean, he wrote most of the Holy Scripture inspired by the Holy Spirit. I mean, how incredible is that? And we get to this moment where Paul was a church planter. Hey, you know, I love me some church planters, right? But Paul was a church planter. He started churches all over Asia, all over Europe. And today we're looking at a letter that was written to a church that he started, that he planted in Philippi. And Philippi was this major city right there on the river. And so a lot of people, when I went back and in, if you want to read how this church got started, it's in Acts chapter 16. And really, it was two radical transformations in Christ that happened in Acts chapter 16. One was a lady named Lydia down by the river. Another one was a jailer. And all of a sudden, between those two radical transformations that Paul shared the gospel with, this church was birthed. And they started meeting in Lydia's house. And it just continued to grow. And so now, Paul is actually in prison. He is behind bars awaiting trial. And he wants to write back to this church that he started in Philippi. And this is the letter of Philippians that we get to look at, that we get to lean into. And let me just tell you, the overarching theme of Philippians, written from prison, is joy and peace. How incredible is that? Paul is a testimony saying, I'm writing this from my position that is not the best position. And we see this pretty incredible thing begin to happen. And we see that Philippi is actually, a little bit of history right here, I'm a history buffs, the Philippian church was the first church planted in Europe by the Apostle Paul. And so it's one of these movements that we see begin to happen. And so the letter starts out and Paul talks about how he is just incredibly thankful for this church and how much they have loved him and how they've been walking with him and how much they have supported him in ministry. And then we get down to verse 18. And this is where we're going to read down to verse 30. Everybody still good? Amen. All right. Verse 18, it starts like this. Yes, and I will rejoice. For I know through your prayers and help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. I love this. Just for a quick second, because this doesn't necessarily tie in with everything else that we're talking about today. But I thought this was an incredible thing to mention, that our prayers lift up other believers all across the world. That our prayers are not confined to our area or our house or our closet or even our church. That you and I can pray for believers everywhere. And Paul is a testament saying, hey, you've been praying for me. We're not even in the same zip code, but it has encouraged me that you're praying for me. And so you and I know that as believers in Christ, there are believers in Honduras. There are believers in China where it's illegal to be an evangelist as a Christian right now. And all these different areas, there are believers living in Christ that you and I, we can lean into and begin to pray for them and pray over them, and it will encourage them. It will lift them up, and God uses our prayers to lift up other believers in Christ all around the world. You and I are a part of something that is way bigger than ourselves, that is way bigger than our area, that's way bigger than just our generation. And it's a beautiful picture of you and I to say, God, I'm praying for those believers everywhere. I'm praying for the believers all around the world who are trying to live faithfully for you. And then in verse 20 it says, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, but that with full courage, now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means the fruitful labor for me. Yet which I shall choose, I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. For it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have. Paul, that's a long letter he is writing. And for a quick second, I want to focus here on verse 21 through 24. It says, for to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, then it means a fruitful labor for me, which shall I choose? Now, I just love this conversation. Because imagine listening in on the Apostle Paul having this conversation with himself. Going, I don't know which is better. I mean, if I live, then I got purpose. If I live, I can keep planting churches. I can make disciples. It's actually better for the body of Christ if I keep on doing what God's called me to do. But if my time runs out and it's time for me to go to heaven, that's actually better because I'm going to be standing with Jesus. I'm going to be with him in heaven in a perfect place. Imagine listening in. That's a little strange, right? Like that's for us. We're like, wait a second, Paul, that's kind of crazy. Like that's your mindset. It is better for you to be there, but yet you're called here. And what do you do with a guy like that, right? Like you're like, you cannot preach Jesus or we're gonna end you. We're gonna throw you in prison. We're gonna crucify, whatever it is. We're gonna kill you. And Paul's like, oh yeah, okay, yeah. Then it's better for me to be with Christ. But if I'm here, I'm gonna keep making disciples. Like, what do you do with a guy that has a mindset like that? What an incredible mindset. Why does Paul live in this kind of suffering? Live in this kind of, I don't know about you, but this is not my ideal. Like, God called me into ministry, and now I'm in prison, right? Like, God called me into ministry. Now I'm walking through this suffering, walking through this trial. I would be asking questions probably like, God, why me? Why is this happening? But yet Paul has the peace of mind to stop and go, whew, I have so much peace in Christ alone that my circumstance is not driving me right now. Where I am at, my position, my suffering is not driving my peace. In fact, my peace is coming somewhere that is higher. My peace is coming from somewhere that is holier. My peace is coming from somewhere that is not of this world. And so the first thing, if you're taking notes here today, is that my eternal security is my covering. My eternal security is my covering. You and I, knowing that we have a relationship with Christ, knowing that our eternity is secure in Christ. That's what Paul is saying. Paul is like, my eternity is secure. I know if anything happens to me on my worst day, I know I will be with Jesus, right? And that's his covering in his aspect of life. That's his peace, right? Like, imagine walking into a situation that is that difficult and that hard, but yet still having that covering in Christ. And we see this in the Apostle Paul. And I believe we can see that in our lives. And if you picture this, yesterday it rained forever, right? Like, I didn't think it was going to stop. And it was so cold. I got low country blood now, right? Like, and it was too cold, but it was raining. But as we walk outside, imagine you're holding your umbrella, right? It's still raining, but I'm dry, right? Like, it's still raining, but I'm covered, right? And so you and I, my eternal security, I am still covered. My peace is still intact. Does it eliminate me from suffering? No. Does it eliminate me from trials? No. We still live in a broken world. And there are still things that happen around us, in us, through us, and to us, right? That we can call trouble. We can call trials. But yet you and I are still covered. You and I know that my peace, there is nobody in this world that can take my peace. There is no man, there is no situation, there is nothing that can take my peace, because my covering is my eternal security. And that speaks volumes. That's why Jesus says, I give you something the world can't give you, because my peace is attached to your eternal security. The world doesn't have a heaven or hell to put you in. Right? He's saying, but I have eternal security that you can rest in the fact of knowing that you are with me. You are my child, and I take care of my children, that you're going to live with me forever, that there is so much more to offer in the world that is around us, because Christ offers that to us, and we can experience that. If you're taking notes, peace is not the absence of struggle. It is that my peace doesn't come from my situation. Is that my peace comes from knowing who Christ is in me. I love this quick quote here too by Dr. Jeremiah, and it says this: God doesn't just order our steps, but he also orders our stops. I love that, right? Like, he doesn't just order our steps, which he does, but he also, there are moments when life stops, right? Apostle Paul is here, and he stopped here in this moment in prison, and he has to stop. He has to walk into that. But also, eternal security. You know what the word peace in the original language means? To be complete. To be complete. To be sound. What a beautiful picture. And how does that tie so closely that my covering is my eternal security of who I am in Christ and knowing who I am? And then this is another thing that the Apostle Paul does that stands out to me about peace. And maybe we didn't pick this up before. Maybe this isn't a normal peace conversation that we have. And how do we rekindle that peace in our lives and in our heart? But it says this in Philippians chapter 12. I want to read this. Chapter 1, there is no chapter 12. That's a preacher joke. You just open it up. Anyway, chapter 1, verse 12. I'm not even going to say that. Okay, chapter 1, verse 12. It says, I want you to know, this is the Apostle Paul speaking just a little earlier. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all of the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. I love that. He is saying that, I want you to know that, that I am enduring suffering, but my peace is not connected to my suffering. My peace is not connected to my situation. In fact, God has used my suffering. God has used my situation, and he's actually advanced the gospel with it. And I just wanted to say that you and I, that God has called us to it, and that we still may face trials. We still may face situations. And sometimes, maybe we've told ourselves, or maybe we've been taught this, that suffering is my punishment. And that is just not true. That even though we may be walking through trials, we may be walking through suffering, that it's not our punishment, but yet that it may actually be that we're walking in the will of God, and yet things are happening. The enemy is not excited that that is happening and what we are doing, but God is saying, but I can take that suffering and in fact make it into something that will advance the gospel, make it into something that gives us purpose, that gives us hope. In fact, Paul says that even though I'm in prison, this is pretty incredible, because most scholars believe that he would have been like in a house, waiting almost like house arrest. And then every 4 to 6 hours, the Roman guards would have rotated. And every time they rotate, the Apostle Paul is sitting there. And every time the guard would come in, Paul just starts a conversation with him. Hey, you know why I'm here, right? Or maybe they start to ask him, you're here because you won't stop preaching about the gospel, about this Jesus. Weren't you that Pharisee, right, that went around like persecuting Christians? Like, and all of a sudden, Paul starts to share his testimony with each and every guard that comes in, right? And he starts to tell them because they realize that there's something different about this man named Paul. He's sitting in prison, but yet he's still writing out to his churches. I'm sure they could still hear him praying. They can still hear him singing songs. And they're like, wait a second. What do you have that we don't have? It's like you are living by a different standard. And Paul shares his testimony with each and every guard. So much so that Paul tells the Philippian church, hey, the whole Imperial Guard already knows. Like, the whole Imperial Guard knows the gospel. The whole Imperial Guard knows why I'm here. The whole Imperial Guard knows where my peace comes from, knows where my joy comes from, right? And it was in his trial and in his suffering, God took it and made it a mantle, right? God took it and gave him an extra microphone. It's because these guards looked at his suffering, was like, how is this even happening? And he began to share his testimony. And you see that when you and I share what Christ has done for us in our life, when we share our testimony, when we share our story, it rekindles this peace and this joy in us. Because now we're reminding ourselves what God has done. We're reminding ourselves how God saved us. We're reminding ourselves how God worked in that situation a few years ago or 2 years ago. We're reminding ourselves of how God worked through our marriage or through our family or through whatever it may look like, or put purpose in our life or put purpose in our hope. And all of a sudden, me sharing my story, sharing my God story, sharing my testimony, that we experience God, and it rekindles that joy. It rekindles that peace inside of our life and inside of our heart. And God says that our suffering for the gospel is not in vain. We talked about this in Ruth chapter 4, that if we allow God into our pain, then he will redeem it. And we see this picture. But let me show you this in Revelation chapter 12. This is good. You guys ready? Revelation chapter 12, it says this in verse 10. This is talking about the end result, right? Of what's going to happen when Jesus comes back and there's a new heaven and a new earth. It says this in verse 10. And I have heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now salvation and the power of the kingdom of our God and the authority of Christ have come. Our accuser of our brothers has been thrown down, who accuses them day and night before God. I love this because remember, it's my eternal security is my cover. And this is what they're saying in Revelation. Jesus has come back and he's making all things new. And he's going to take each and every believer in Christ with him. And that's my covering. And then this is what they say, though. This is incredible. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. For they love not their lives even until death. It's saying that the accuser comes, the enemy comes, and he wants to discourage. The Bible calls the devil the father of lies. But Revelation reminds us the way we overcome him is by the blood of the Lamb, reminding, hey, devil, I'm covered. My eternal security is complete. I know who I am in Christ. I know where I'm going. You can throw at me what you will, but I'm covered, right? You can throw at me whatever you got. All those things, all those lies, all those things, but I am covered by the blood of the Lamb. I am covered in my salvation. And then it says the power of our testimony, that you have a part to play in this. We have a part to play in this, that our testimony, our story has a huge impact on what God is doing here in our lives and in this world. And we see a beautiful picture begin to happen. And maybe for you or for I would encourage us all to go back and go, okay, what is my story? What is my God story? And have I shared it before? Maybe a great first step is I'm going to go home and I just want to write out. Maybe it's a couple sentences of here was my life before God. Here is how I met God. And then here is my life after God. Or maybe you just recently went through an incredibly difficult time. And you saw, all of a sudden now you're seeing how God worked in the midst of that. And you can start to write out, okay, this was my trial, this was my hurt, this was my suffering, and here's how God worked in and through that. And all of a sudden we begin to write some of that out. Or maybe we want to share that. It could be with our kids, it could be with our brother or sister, it could be with a family member, it could be all of a sudden we're looking, because if you remember that picture of the umbrella, right, where we are covered by our eternal security, and then we may see somebody else in the world who is wrestling through some suffering, wrestling through some pain, and they're standing without their umbrella, and we're standing there, right, we got our umbrella, we're underneath it, it's still raining, we're walking through that, but we are covered, right? And all of a sudden we walk up right next to them and go, hey, can I just show you a little bit of what Jesus can provide? Can I just show you a little bit of how Jesus, even in that hurt, even in that trial, even in that suffering, look, can I show you, can you get underneath my covering for just a little bit, right? And let me just show you what Jesus can provide, and let me tell you how he worked in my life. And all of a sudden, we are able to help those who are standing out, trying to figure it out on their own. And Jesus is saying, hey, I provide something that the world can't provide. And we have this incredible picture of purpose that you and I get to walk into, to walk into that purpose, to walk into that pain, because we have that covering in Christ, and we have that hope that we have in Christ. This is what it looks like. In real life, in the picture, I want to give you just two quick examples in the Bible, and then as we get ready to close, we're going to worship together again, but we see this ultimately by Jesus. And what does this look like, right? Because it can be hard. What does it look like in my life? We see this in Christ as he is in the garden, and he's praying. He's toiling over, getting ready to go pay the price for you and I, for our eternal security. He's getting ready for whatever is before him, his death on the cross. And he's just praying, and he's toiling over this. But what peace, even in those hard times, looks like is Jesus stopping and going, okay, God, I know you hold my future, so your will be done, not my will be done. That was Jesus' prayer. And then Jesus goes to the cross. And this honestly, it like chokes me up every single time. Jesus is being nailed to the cross for my sins, for your sins. And while that is happening, he is going, I am covered, right? Like, I am good. And so because of that, now his prayer is, God, forgive them, for they know not what they're doing, right? He's not even praying for just, God, come down and swoop and just take all of this away. He's like, no, God, forgive them. Allow them to know who I am. What a beautiful picture of peace in the middle of trials. Peace in the middle of situations that are definitely not ideal. But Jesus comes as the Prince of Peace, gives us that perfect example. And what that looks like in your life and my life is that we now can sit on, maybe you have a prodigal son, a prodigal daughter, or you're talking to your son or your daughter, and you're sitting with them on the bed and across from them in the bed, and you begin to share your story, because maybe they're going through a hard time, and you're saying, at the end of the day, I'm covered. At the end of the day, because of Jesus, I know that he is with me, and my peace, son, my peace, daughter, doesn't come from the circumstance that the world has put before us, that the world has made us, but my peace is wrapped up in Jesus, and I want that for you. I want that in you. You could be a student in the room, and you're at school, and somebody sees your life, and they're walking through a hard time. Now you have an opportunity, right? Because you've got your umbrella. You are covered, and you see that what they're walking through, and you're going, hey, look, I'm covered. I'm good. I just want you to know about the same peace that I have, the same peace. But in fact, the only way you can get this peace is through Jesus. And the only reason that you can have this peace is because it's only through Christ that we have eternal security. It's only through Christ that we can be saved. And that is why Jesus is saying, this is the peace that I can provide. That even in any situation, even in any circumstance, you are covered by the blood of the Lamb. And you can now can come up to the enemy with the power of your testimony and going, no, I have my peace. No, I still have my joy, right? Like I can face whatever is in front of me because who saved me is more powerful, is more holy, and is higher than the situation that is in front of me. And I can walk in that truth, and my peace is wrapped up in the gospel. My peace is wrapped up in the gospel. And this is so because Jesus is the gospel. He is the Word made flesh. He is the bread of life. He's the King of kings. He is our provider, our redeemer, our savior. He is the well that never runs dry. He is the bridge over troubled water. He is the bread when we are hungry. He is the water when we are thirsty. He will make a way when there is no way. And his promise is true that, hey, if you trust in me, I will take the load from you and give you peace and give you rest. And so now we see this picture that Jesus is the source of our peace and that Jesus is the only true peace in which you and I can experience. And so I'm going to close today, but I want to give us three takeaways, okay? Three takeaways that we can experience this, because I want this peace for all of us. And this series, this is just the foundation of it. This is just because the foundation of my peace, the core of my peace is wrapped up in the gospel. The core of my peace is that my eternal security is secure, that where I know who holds me and I know who holds my future. And so three things I want to challenge us here today. One is, we know from John 14, it says, peace I give you, right? And he's saying that he, Jesus, is the source of peace. And so my prayer is that for you and I, that we would take a moment today and go, how can I get close to Jesus? How can one, maybe if I don't have a relationship with him, maybe I'm realizing what Jesus provides, what Jesus offers, and that Jesus is the only way to experience that utmost true peace, that true covering in Christ. And I want to give my life to him. I want to begin to follow him just like the disciples. I want to follow him just like Christ. I want to give him my life because I know he loves me enough to secure my eternity. He loves me enough to want to spend eternity with him. He loves me enough to want to walk with me. And so today, that's our first step. But also, if we're a Christian, right, we're still covered. But sometimes, if we're honest, right, like we leave our umbrella at home, right? Like we leave it and we just kind of walk out, mentally speaking, right? We walk out, we're in the rain, we're like, oh, this is tough, this is too much, I can't do this, right? But I want us to be reminded today that we are still covered, that we know where our hope comes from. We know where our peace comes from. It is wrapped up in the gospel. It is wrapped up in our eternal security. And then also, what is your next step? What is my next step in sharing the part of our story? What does that look like? Maybe I just need to write it down for the first time. Maybe I'm going to need to evaluate, okay, let me talk with my family about this. How can I share my testimony? Because every time we share that story, every time we bring that back up, we're rekindling that peace that we have in us and in Christ. And then the last one is, we're going to be studying Philippians. So over the next 4 weeks, my challenge is for you to read the book of Philippians. It's four chapters. And so we got four chapters to the week. Maybe you just want to pick one chapter per week as we're talking about it. This week we were talking about chapter 1, so if you want to look through that and just begin to read that. Maybe you want to read it once per week, right? Like, and just go back and read it again the second week, read it again the third, whatever it may look like, but you begin to soak in and see the mentality that Paul had to experience God's peace inside of our life, and that word gets in us and begins to shape us and mold us into who Christ has called us to be. And so I want to pray for us. If you would love prayer here this morning, one of the things we love to do is after the response song, after the announcements, we love just to mix and mingle because we love hanging out together as a church. But during that time, if you need prayer for something specific, if you need prayer for a moment or thing that has happened in your life, I'll be up front. We can have some other people ready if we need more people to pray for you. But just to know that we're a praying church, we're here for you, walking in that. And so I want to pray for us, ask God to speak to our hearts, remind us of who we are in Christ. Christ remind us that our peace is rooted and grounded in the covering of the gospel and knowing that Christ has us covered. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we love you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth, God. God, thank you for all that we have. God, I pray that that you would begin to remind us and speak to our hearts. God, I pray that I know that life can get heavy. I know that life can be incredibly difficult. But God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, even in the midst of the trials, even in the midst of the struggle. God, I pray that this morning that we're reminded of your price that you paid, God, that your freedom that we have in you, that you set us free, God, that you changed us, that you redeemed us, and that we have a heavenly home in you, Jesus. God, I pray that if there's anybody that can hear the sound of my voice, or they're online, or whoever it may be, God, I just pray that if they've never given their life to you, I pray that you would place it on their heart to surrender that to you. Maybe for the first time, saying, God, I want the peace that only you can provide. God, I pray that you would speak to that over us. God, I pray that you would empower us. I pray that you would give us boldness to share our testimony, share our story, God. And that our testimony becomes a vital piece of reminding ourselves and the world of the peace we have in Jesus Christ. God, I pray that you would speak to us over the next 4 weeks, maybe like you've never spoken to us before. God, I pray that you just rekindle that fire in us. I pray, God, that we maybe can find rest, whatever that may look like emotionally, physically, God, spiritually, for the first time in a long time. That we place our rest, that we place our hope in you, Christ. And we ask all this in Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. Let's stand and worship together.
Thank you for tuning in to the Bridge Church Podcast. If you would like to find out more information about our church, you can simply visit our website at thebridgebluffton.com. Have a blessed day.